Okay, we're on. This week is Shabbos, Parshas, Vayelech, one Parsha. 30 Psukim, correct? 30 Psukim, short Parsha. This year, Shabbos Shuva is on Parshas Vayelech, and Hazinu stands alone in between Rosh Hashanah, between Yom Kippurim and Sukkot. Now, even though we have a very short parasha, we have a very long haftarah. We discussed this yesterday in detail. We learned this, the minhag Yisrael, after everything is said and done. We're not going to repeat the entire discussion. After everything is said and done, the minhag Yisrael is to learn three different svarim. How often do you learn three different chapters, three different sections of three different neviim? First from Hosea, the second from Yoel, the third from Micha, and the minhag Yisrael today has become, more or less, can't tell you everywhere, is to read it in that order. First, Hosea, Shuva Yisrael, and then to lay from Yoel, and then Yoel begins, Vashem, Nosan, Koiloi, Lefnei, Cheloi. There are some very beautiful psukim. The psukim go on to say, V'kiru levavchem, V'al bigdechem, you shall rip your hearts, not your clothing, V'shuvu el Hashem, Elokeichem, Ki chanun v'rachum hu, V'chulu v'chulu. And then we wind down with Micha, Mikel Kamecha, the three psukim that allude to, in these three psukim, Chazal tell us, is hidden the Yud Gimel Midois Harachamim. These are the psukim that we recite when we go to Tashlach. Okay, so we have over here three different sections, three different Nevi'im, Hosea, Yoel, and Micha. We discussed this yesterday at great length. The order, all of the various issues relating to these three sections of Navi, which are put together for the Haftarah this week. I just want to point out one Ha'orah al-Drush, in honor of Shabbos Shuva, is that the focus of each one of these Navim is very, very different. Hosea, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, the entire thrust of Hosea is to give us instructions what to do. We should do teshuva. Shuva, I'm instructing you. Shuva Yisrael, return. Ad Hashem Elokecha, ki choshalta ba'avaynecha. You are sinners. You have stumbled in sin. Ki chui mochem devarim v'shuva l'Hashem. Take with you words of repentance, and do teshuva. Imrei lav, kol Tiso Ovoin Zikach Toiv and Shalma Fodim Sifosainu. Again, the psukim go on and on, and they tell you don't have faith in this nation and that nation. The thrust of Hosea is what to do. What about Yoel? What's the thrust of Sefer Yoel? The answer is, it really doesn't matter what Yoel says. Okay, it doesn't really make a difference what he says. It's not what he says, it's who he was. Yoel is the ultimate dogma of a Baal Teshuva. There is probably no better example in the whole Tanakh as a Baal Teshuva. They should name all the Baal Teshuva yeshivas Yoel. They should name the Yoel. Yoel. What?
Bnei Yoel.
Bnei Yoel. Kiryas Yoel. They should name. He's not here today. They should name. They should name all of the Baalei Teshuva institutions Yoel. Why? Yoel, the Torah says about Yoel the most horrible things. It says he was thoroughly corrupt. Yoel, according to what we've learned, one interpretation, Rashi tells us this, is that he was the son of Shmuel Hanavi. It says, Beferish and Sefer Shmuel, that Shmuel had two sons, and one of them was named Yoel. And the pasuk goes on to say that Yoel was Holach Achar Habetza. He was Hito Es Hadin. And what else does it say? It says three things about him. He was corrupt. Okay, the Torah says he was Betza, Hito Es Hadin, and Osu Ovel. I don't remember exactly what it says, but it says there are three different expressions describing the corrupt nature of this individual, Yoel ben Shmuel. How then does Yoel ben Shmuel become a prophet? Hashem does not have enough tzaddikim in this world to use as instruments of prophecy. He has to select a ganav to be this prophet. What's going on here? The answer is, Chazal tell us, Yoel did teshuva. Where do you have such a thing in Tanakh, a person who is explicitly described as a corrupt person in the most graphic terms and turns into the ultimate, the holiest person you can possibly be in this world, a Navi, to go mikotze el hakotze through the koyach of doing teshuvah. So we have over here a person who, you know, it really doesn't matter what he said. It does not matter what Yoel actually said. What matters is who he is. He is the dugma, the person who listened to the instructions of Hoshea. The third section that we read, we wind down in the Haftarah, are the three pesukim in Micha, which tells us basically that Hashem accepts man's teshuvah. Hashem is the being who is omnipotent, who has rachmanus, and who contains the yud gimel midos harachamim, and is willing to accept the teshuvah of man. So it's a very beautiful haftarah. It's a sequence. It's a sequence of events. We're learning a story here. Hashem instructs us, do teshuvah. We then look at an individual who listened to the words of Hoshea, who did teshuvah. And then we read that Hashem accepted his teshuvah. Hashem is filled with the yud gimel midos harachamim. Hashem accepted the repentance of Yoel. What more can you possibly want in a haftarah? Words of instruction, an example of someone who listened to the words of instruction, and then to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the avoida, the service, the teshuva of the man who listened to Hashem's instructions. What more can you possibly want? We have the entire picture presented to us from beginning to end in this week's Haftarah by combining together Hoshea, Yoel, and Micha. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's start off with the beginning of the parasha, some short ideas, then we'll talk a little about Inyani Teshuva. But in this week's parasha, we begin with Vayelech Moshe. Moshe went, Vayidaber es hadavarim ha'ele el kol Yisrael. Now, I want to tell you, Vard, it's not really so much related to the parasha, it's not really related to the Teshuva, but it's just a ha'ara. I think how often I get a chance to dwell upon this idea just really woke me up when I read in the Baal HaTurim, and just something to think about. The Baal HaTurim says, brings down a Chazal, which tells us, explains the juxtaposition of the end of Parashas Nitzavim to the beginning of Parashas Vayelech. Parash Vayelech means Vayelech Moshe Vayidaber es Hadvarim Ele El Kol Yisrael. The end of last week's Parasha, Parashas Nitzavim, is Li'ahava es Hashem Elokecha l'shmai b'kolo u'ludov kavoy ki hu chayecha v'arech yemecha l'sheves al hodom asher nishma Hashem l'avosecha li'avraham li'yitzchok u'li'akoyv l'oseis lohem. The Avos Baal HaTurim says, what does it mean Vayelech Moshe in this week's parasha right next to Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov? Is to teach us that Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Avos and he told them that Hashem has fulfilled his promise. He has brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Now let me read you the exact words of the Baal HaTurim, and I want to bring out a small point, and I don't really know how you want to relate this to the Yimei HaDin. Maybe we can. Let's just read the words. The Baal HaTurim says, when we find it, Vayelech Moshe, Le'el Minei Ksiv, it says, Li'Avraham, Li'Yitzchak, U'Li'Yakov, V'Somach Le'i, it says, Vayelech Moshe, Shaholach Aleihem, Moshe went to the Avos, Lehagid, focus on that word, to tell them what? Kiyem HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Shivu Asa, he fulfilled his promise, Vehichnis Yisrael L'Aretz, period. The Isa B'Medrash, Mikan, from here we learn, Shehameisim Misaprim, Ze Im Ze, the dead speak with one another. Now, what exactly does that mean? When exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu go and tell the Avos that Hashem fulfilled his promise. Does that mean that Moshe fulfilled his promise after Moshe died? Is that what it means?
Because if he speaks of them entering Eretz Israel in the past tense,
yes,
clearly it's posthumously he said.
Okay, is that's possible? Or maybe it means Vayelech Moshe. Okay, maybe what I'm saying is more of a Jewish. Okay, let's just see. Let's look at one thing at a time. First of all, I want to focus on the fact that when it says that Moshe told the Avos, the word he used, the Chazal used, the Baal HaTorim quotes from this Chazal is, he was magid, as in the Haggadah. Right? He got it to Levincha Bayomahu Le'emah Bavur Ze'a So Hashem Li B'tseisim in Mitzrayim. And then when the Medrash derives the conclusion, the word, the term is Mikan Shahamesim Misaprim. They speak amongst each other, as in the term Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Medrash here is using, in reference to this connection between Mitzvah and Vayelech, the two words that we commonly use in reference to the Haggadah. There's something called Haggadah, V'Gadata Levincha, and there's something called Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. We interchange these terms among all the time. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, relating, telling over the story of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, is the same thing as Haggadah. When we recite the Haggadah, we are telling over the story of Yisipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. I want to say a chiddush here, which it does not say, and it could be totally wrong because of what Ramachol just touched upon, but perhaps there is a very big difference between the word Haggadah and Sipur. Haggadah relates to the father telling the children. The father says over the story, V'hi gadita levincha. And then the children discuss amongst themselves what their father told them. In the big yeshiva, a rashiva gives a shir klali, a very complex shir, and after the shir is over, there's a choizer. Even by a rebbe. A rebbe, he says a sicha, he says a maimer, or he has a tish, and he says over Torah, and then the next day, or a few days later, there are people appointed to review with the oilam, with the talmidim, a chazara shir, the choizer. I want to suggest, the word haggadah relates specifically to the father telling over the story of Mitzrayim to the children. Then the children discuss amongst themselves what their father told them. Did he say this? Did he say that? What did he mean? The nuances of this inflection, what exactly did he mean? If we are to learn the pasuk literally, that Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Avos when Moshe was still alive, as that's what the pasuk says. Vayelech Moshe, vayidaber es hadivorim ha'ele el kol Yisrael. How does a person go and speak to the dead? The way you speak to the dead when you're still alive is you speak to the entire Klal Yisrael. If you speak to the entire Klal Yisrael, somehow the dead know about it. The dead may not know the details. The dead may not know exactly what's going on. I'm saying things that I don't know nothing about, but I'm making a suggestion, which I think there's some truth to it. If you speak to the entire Klal Yisrael, the dead find out. Some will tell you the Gemara actually says, because there are shayaros, caravans, going from this world to the next world. People die, and they bring up the news report. The people in the next world, the Gemara says, they're waiting for the newspaper. What's the newspaper? The new arrivals. The new arrivals who have just died, have been buried. They come to Shemayim, and there are people waiting by the gate. Knew what's doing in the world below. Knew who won the World Series. They want to know what's doing. What's doing down there. They want to know what's going on. Shayaros Mitzuyos. Or you can say, no, there's a certain when the whole, something affects the entire Klal Yisrael. When it affects the entire Klal Yisrael, that's a news bulletin in Shemayim. The pasuk here says, "Vayelech Moshe vayidaber es hadvarim ha'ele el kol Yisrael." I know you're going to tell me that it means the drasha is that after Moshe Rabbeinu died, he came to Shemayim. He then first went to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and gave them a news report. Possible. Or maybe it means take the pasuk literally. Moshe now is giving over a final address to Klal Yisrael, and he's telling them, "You're now tomorrow. You're gonna not tomorrow. Whatever the 10th day of in a few weeks, you're gonna cross. It's imminent. You're gonna cross over. This was a direct news bulletin to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because you're speaking to the entire Klal Yisrael. And then what happens? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they talk amongst themselves. The word Sipur then means the dead are Misaprim, Zelazah. Who's the dead? Moshe is still alive in this pasuk. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they're the ones who are not alive anymore. So the Sipur, Mikan Shehamesim, Misaprim, Zelazah, goes on Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moshe is doing the Haggadah. Moshe is doing the Haggadah. He's speaking to Klal Yisrael, which indirectly causes the dead to hear what's taking place in this world. And then the dead speak amongst themselves, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. If this is what I'm saying is correct, maybe not, but if it is correct, you do learn one very interesting idea. The word Haggadah is from the speaker to the recipients, to the Talmidim. And then the word Sipur is amongst the listeners, amongst themselves, when they discuss what was told to them. That is a very interesting idea, because that changes the entire dynamics of what is the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. In Yitzias Mitzrayim, there is the Maggid, the father. He gives over the previous generation, gives over the story of the Exodus to the children. And then there's a new din, a Naya din. It's where the people of this generation, the children amongst themselves, the father is quiet by the Seder table. And he listens to the children discuss amongst themselves what they just learned. It totally changes the dynamics of what happens by the Lel Seder. Now, how do we relate this to in Yoni de Yoima? Okay, I thought it was a very important thing. I'm going to forget about this. By the time it comes around, the Pesach, so I wanted a chaperein. But once already we're discussing this right before the Yimei Hadin, we have to also remember that the Yimei Hadin, we say on Yom HaKippurim, Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. All of the Moadim have within them the element of Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. We're going to say this in the Nusach of Yom HaKippurim multiple times. Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. Why do we say Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim when it comes to Yom HaKippurim? Simply because we receive the Luchos, the Luchos Shnius. The Luchos Shnius was the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ta'avdunis Elokim al Ahar Azeh. And when did we receive the Luchos Shnius? On Yom HaKippurim. So it's Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. But if you want to take note of here, Shabbos Shuva, you want to take note of here by Yelech Moshe. Moshe over here is coming, to speak. He's doing Haggadah. And the Mason amongst themselves are involved in the Sipur. There is a difference between the term Haggadah and Sipur that teaches us that when we go into the new year, there are messages that the year has given us, Hashem has spoken to us through current events, things that have happened to us, and now on Pesach, and now on the Yimei HaDin, what we really do is, we talk to ourselves. Okay, we talk to ourselves, we talk to our family members, what's the message? What is the message? What is the Sipur? Just like on Pesach, in going out of Mitzrayim, Hashem gave us Tzvei Dinim. Bris Ketorah, Hashem gave us two Dinim in Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's a Din of V'higadta levincha, and then there's a din of what's the pasuk of Sipur? Leman tesaper v'yaznevincha v'nincha. There's a din of Sipur. There's a din of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. If it's true that the Sipur is amongst ourselves and the Haggadah is what has been given to us, that's really what happens on the Yimei Hadin. We reflect. What has happened to us this year? Who is the one that is causing events to happen amongst us? Hashem. Hashem is the Maggid. And now, during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, it's the time of Sipur, when we discuss amongst ourselves what happened. What did Hashem say to us this year? What was the message? We speak to ourselves, we speak to our family. There are two dinim in the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. There is the Haggadah and there is the Sipur. I'm just borrowing terms that the Baal HaTurim is telling us in this connection between Vayelech and Nitzavim. So review it. It's a little bit of a stretch, but maybe not. Maybe not. The Baal HaTurim says there's a drasha in the juxtaposition of the two parashios, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Avos and he told them that Hashem fulfilled his promise and he brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. If you want to take the Pesukim at face value, Moshe is alive, the Avos are not alive. How did Moshe tell the Avos? By speaking to Klal Yisrael, by giving his farewell address was heard by the dead as well. Because when you speak to the whole Klal Yisrael, in Shemayim they're listening as well. So Moshe is also addressing the Avos. So Moshe is alive, the Avos are dead. And the term for Moshe is Vayaged, the term for the dead is Sipur. That reveals to us that in Yitzias Mitzrayim, in the midst of Haggadah, there are two dinim. There's the din of Haggadah, the din of Sipur. Haggadah is the mitzvah that the father gives over to the children. The Sipur is after hearing what the father said, the children discuss this amongst themselves. When we come into a new year, it's Zecher LeYitzias Mitzrayim. There's a din of Haggadah and Sipur. The Haggadah is, look back, what happened this year? What has changed? How have we been affected? How have we become better? How, Rahman al-Islam, have we slipped? This was the Haggadah. Now it's time for Sipur. It's time to discuss amongst ourselves, to derive, to analyze, to learn the lessons of what has occurred in the past. Okay, next idea. Rashi says, Le'uchal oid lotseis v'lovoi. Rashi says here in Pasuk, the first, second Pasuk, Yochel our thing, Shetoshash, Koichoi, that Moshe was weak. Talmud Loimah, the Pasuk says, Le'chel einoi v'loi nos lechoi, Moshe Rabbeinu was strong as an axe. Moshe Rabbeinu was powerful. So what then does it mean, Le'uchal? Rashi says, Elamahu Le'uchal, einei rishai, I'm not permitted. Shenitla mimeni harashus, permission has been denied. I'm physically fit to go into Eretz Yisrael. I'm physically fit to continue to lead Klal Yisrael, but I do not have permission. V'nitna li Yehoshua, there's a new person who has been given permission to lead, and that is Yehoshua. Gesundheit. On Yom HaKippurim, one of the major themes of Yom HaKippurim is to be doymel l'malach. We don't eat. The most basic, fundamental thing. What are we doing Yom HaKippurim? We do not eat food. We do not drink. One of the five inuim, we do not eat. We do not wear shoes. One of the reasons why we do not wear shoes, not only because of the inuim, malachim. Malachim don't walk. Malachim are called oimdim. V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ha'oimdim ha'ele. If you're not going anywhere, you don't need to wear shoes. The only reason why you need to wear shoes is if you want to go somewhere. If you don't want to go anywhere, so take off your shoes. You're not going anywhere. You can stand in one spot and you're not going to get hurt. Everything is fine and good. Malachim don't go anywhere. They're oimdim. They remain in their madrega. They do not move from one level to another. There's no advancement. There's no room for career advancement if you live among the malachim. Whatever job you get, that's what you have for the remainder of your existence. They don't go from Oifanim to the Chayas HaKodesh, to this Malach, that Malach. They are what they are. A human being has the ability, has the mobility. Mahalchem bein ha'oimdim mo'ela. On Yom HaKippurim, we're doymel l'malachim, we do not wear shoes, we're not going anywhere. We do not eat like malachim do not eat. We daven, we sing shir, we say things, we say Boruch, Shem, Kivoid, Malchuso, Li'olam, Vo'ed, out loud. Whose domain is recital of Baruch Shem Kod Malchuso, the Malachim. We have no right to say Baruch Shem out loud. That is something that they recite in heaven. It's not our business to recite. No, we are Doimel the Malachim. We don't know very much about Malachim, but one thing that we do know is we say every single day, V'noisnim Rishus, Ze lo ze, Lahaktish, Liyoitram, Benachas, Ruach, Besafa, Virov, Nima, Kidusha, Kolom, Yechon, Onim, Vimim, Biro. We know very little about Malachim, but every single day of our lives, we make mention that Malachim don't make a move. They don't move anyway, but they don't sing Shira, they don't proceed to sanctify Hashem's name until they are granted permission. Netilas Rishus. This parasha is very apropos, what it says here, Vayelech Moshe. Moshe now says, I've come to an end. It's over. The Rishus has been denied. in order for me to proceed, I need to renew my license. I need to get a renewal on my license. I need reshus. I don't have it. This is exactly what takes place on Yom HaKippurim. We acknowledge the year is over. Our lease is up. The netilas reshus has been denied. The license we've received was given to us a year ago, and it expires on Yom Kippur, or during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, it expires. We now come to beg Hashem for that He renew our license. He once again grant us reshus. For what purpose? Lahakdish liyotzram benachas ruach. So that we can proceed into the next year and sanctify Hashem and give Hashem nachas ruach. Lahakdish liyotzram benachas ruach. B'sofa v'rura uvenima kidusha kulam ke'echad. Together as a klal Yisrael, to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. That's what we're trying to accomplish on the Yomim Noraim. And therefore, we behave like malachim. It's not the pshat that, no, we don't eat, we don't drink, we don't wear shalos, some of melu malachim. Pum fakert, just the opposite. Malachim, what is the core of a malach, the DNA of a malach is this concept of you don't proceed to sanctify Hashem until you have reshus. We on Yom HaKippurim are coming to borrow that midah. We need reshus to proceed to be makdish our yoitzer benachas ruach. Therefore, we emulate. That's why. If you need, why do you rob the bank? Because that's where the money is. Why do we want to be malachim? Because we need reshus. That's where reshus is. They are their experts. They are the ones who are the world-renowned experts in what it means, netilas reshus. So if we behave like malachim, we connect ourselves to malachim, maybe we'll figure out what it means, netilas reshus, to get permission. Permission to be mevakesh, permission. Not just from Hashem, to be motzichem in the eyes of our chaverim, to get permission from them. They also should fargin us, that we should succeed in life and accomplish something. There's been Adam lachaveri, Adam lamakim. Malachim also have Adam lachaveri. The nightly reshus zeh mizeh. They also have to get reshus from one another. This is what Yom HaKippurim is all about. It leaps out of the words of Rashi in Shabbos Parshas, Shabbos Shuva. Moshe says, my license has come to an end. I need to renew the license. And Hashem said, no. We are in the same boat. And the world-renowned experts, Abba Malachim, they're Neilim Rishos, we shtelzach to the Malachim. We behave like Malachim, to be mevakesh reshus from Hashem, and also, let's not forget, ze mizeh, ben odom lachavera, if our friends want us to succeed, Hashem says, you can succeed, I'll also give you reshus. Seek reshus from your chaverim, from the malachim, it doesn't say anywhere they mevakesh reshus from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It says, v'noisnim reshus ze lo ze. What about Hashem? Obviously, Hashem says, if Yechover gives you reshus, I give you reshus. If you're good with one another, you don't even need my permission. The same way that's true with regard to the malachim, it's certainly true with regard to us humans. If we are good to each other amongst ourselves, Hashem says, I don't need or want more than that. Automatically, you have my permission. Okay, let's go to the next thing. Okay, this is a very short drush. I like this. It's a very good word to say for a Siyum HaShas. Okay? A Siyum HaShas or a Siyum Masechta on the Talmud. It talks about the Sefer Torah. It's the words of Rashi, the simple words of Rashi. It's like a nice little drush. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the day that he died, he wrote 13 Sefer Torah. one of the Sifrei Torah he gave to a Shevet, to Shevet Levi. We discussed this last week. I jumped the gun last week. I spoke about Parashas Vayelech also. But one of the 13 Sifrei Torah he gave to his Shevet. And what did they do with the Sifrei Torah? They were unique in that they put their Sifrei Torah either in the Aron HaKodesh or adjacent to the Aron HaKodesh. This is just a drush. Look at the words of Rashi. Rashi over here says, the Sifrei Torah was put mitzad Aron Bris Hashem, near the Aron of the Bris Hashem. Nechluku boi chachmei Yisrael b'bava basra. Yesh mehem oimrim daf haya munach haya boilet min ha'oroin mibachutz v'sham haya munach. V'yesh oimrim mitzad haluchos haya munach b'soich ha'oroin. Okay, let's first just focus the Jewish on the first yesh mehem. Where is the Torah, Rabbi Sai? Is the secret to our nitzrius in the Torah Shebachsav or in the Torah Shebal Peh? Again, this make believe to see Mashasta. Madness regarded. Where is the koyach of the nitzrius of Klal Yisrael in the Torah Shebal Peh? Where is the Torah Shebal Peh? Where? A daf gemara. It's in a daf gemara. The daf gemara is where you have the Torah Shebal Peh. Daf hoya boilate min ha'oroin. The page of the gemara is boilate from the oroin, which contains the Torah shebichsav mibachutz, outside the Aron HaKodesh, on the table, v'sham hayamunach. That's where the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael is. That's where the Torah is. You're not going to find the Torah in the Torah. Okay, Torah shebichsav is a sefer sosum. It's impossible to decipher Torah Shebichsav. Impossible. We're going to have mamash. No clue. No clue in understanding Torah Shebichsav. It's lost. Totally lost. You need the Torah Shebal Peh. It's the key. It's the key. It's the code to decipher the Torah Shebal Peh. There's a daf. How you boilate min ha'aroin. It shoots out of the Aron HaKodesh. It's on the table. Mibachutz. V'sham ha'yumunach. That's where you're going to find the nitzrius of Torah Shebichsav. That's where in the Daf Gemara. That's the Koyach HaTorah. Yom HaKippurim. What do we say at the very, very end of Yom HaKippurim? Ein lanu shiur rak HaTorah hazaz. That's what it all comes down to. The very end of Yom HaKippurim, the end of the Aser Simei Tshuva Ni'ilah, is we pull out our trump card. We pull out our last stop, our desperation. All we have left today that we can say for ourselves, Ein lanu shiur, rak haTorah hazayis. There's no Beis HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael, there's a struggle, there's Yisurim. One thing we have, and that is the Koyach haTorah. And where is the Torah? The Torah is in the daf, that's munach mibachutz. Not in the Aron HaKodesh. That's not where you're going to find the Torah. It's locked up. Every shul today has a safe, the combination, the keys. You can't get in there. Where do you find the Torah? It's the daf that's boilate michutz la'aron. Right here. That's available. That is what we have left. That is the zechus to hold on to be minatzeach, to be victorious on the Yom HaDin. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's discuss briefly the honor of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, Shabbos Teshuva, the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. What are the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim? So everyone will tell you. It's we say it so many times. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham, Lechan, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed V'Emes, Noitze Chesed Lo Alofim, Noitze Ovan V'Fesha, V'chata'ovinakei. Is that correct? What I told you, is that correct?
Well,
okay, I have here a sefer. Let me give you a mashal before I tell you the vart. I have a sefer at home that has 42 piyutim or kinois in honor of the Asara Harugei Malchus. We have on record today from the Kadmoinim 42 piyutim. There probably were a lot more. They're lost. They got lost in history, in the war, and who knows where, over history. What? Sorry, two of them. They died at different times. Four. Okay, today is the yahrzeit or the day when the haschola of four of the ten of the Asarugim Malchus. And who are they? Tell me their names. You know, on Tisha B'Av, most of the kinos only have eight. Two of them are missing. Two are missing. Why are two missing? Who knows? We think we know which are missing. We have some old kinos which put two more back in for a total of ten. But in our records, what we have available today, what it seems there are 42. If you look at the names, you will discover the names of each piyut are not the same names as the other piyut. Each piyut. Okay, each piyut has different names. If you were to count up all the names, the different names in the 42 piyutim, I think it comes out to about 25. There are 25 people who are candidates to be the Asara Haruge Malchus. Isn't that interesting? There are only 10 Asara Haruge Malchus. I wouldn't even know who they are. Because everyone has a different version of who they are. They all died. Everyone died Al Kiddush Hashem. They all killed, brutally killed. So why are these, why do Chazal only count 10 and not 20, not 25? Why not 6 million? Why not 7? I mean, what's going on over here? All right, we have no idea. Whatever it is, it is. Whatever it is, it is. There is something called Asara Harugi Malchus. There are at least 25 candidates, at least, in this Tekufa. And from those 25, whatever it is, only Hashem knows who the 10 are. When it comes to the Yud Gimel Midot Sarachamim, if you read all the Rishonim, there are at least 10 Rishonim that give different opinions as what are the Yud Gimel Midot Sarachamim, it comes out there are probably 25 candidates, 25 Midos, words, expressions in the Psukim, which are valid candidates to be from the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Are the two words Hashem Hashem, are those part of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim? Hashem Hashem? So some say yeah. Some say Hashem is Koidim Achet, Hashem Achrachet. Maybe we'll discuss that. Two different Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Hashem. Some say no. The Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim begin with Kel. Some say no, Kel is not a Midah, it's Kel Rachum. Neitzer, you have two times chesed, Rav chesed, and Neitzer chesed. How many chesedim are there? And then when we finish v'nakei. Why stop there? There's lo yinakei, poiked, ovoin, ovois, albonim, Hashem waits, to the next generation. Al shileshim, that's another mid of patience. Al ribeim, v'solachto la'avoinenu, unichatoseinu, unichaltanu. If you read the whole thing, when you finish the Yud Gil Midas Harachamim, and you go study all of the Rishonim, you will discover you have about at least 25 words, ideas, expressions that serve as candidates for the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. So the question is, so what are they? So some will tell you, you know what you do, you have a big problem on your hands, you got real trouble because now Yom Kippur is coming up, and you're going to be saying it multiple times. You say it at least 10 times. Some people say it a lot more, different when depending on how many times you say Slichus, by Ne'ilah, by Musaf. So, you know, you better make a decision which of one of the Rishonim you want to follow and stick to it. Be consistent. Some were very smart and very super complex. We'll have Cheshbonis. For Ma'ariv, we're going to follow the sheet of the Rosh. For Shachris, before Chazor Sashas, we're going to follow the Rebbeinu Tam. For Rebbeinu after Chazor Sashas, we're going to follow Rashi. And then for Mincha, we're going to follow this sheet. And the Ilu, we say it 7 times, we're going to chaz them all over. In my mind, I'm going to have marked off in my Siddur, each time I say the Yud Gil Midas Racham during the Ilah, I'm bringing the Mechad in a different cheshbon of what are the Yud Gimel Midas Racham. Those people I stay away from. they're too scary for me. They're too complicated for me. Then I'll tell you the best sheet. The best sheet, I'll tell you. The best sheet is, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'll just say everything. I'll just say Hashem, Hashem. all the way to what it says in the Siddur, V'solachta la'avoneinu u'lechatoseinu u'nechaltanu. Somewhere from Hashem, Hashem, until those last words, somewhere in there are the Yud, Gimel, Midoy, Sarachnu. Why does this resonate with me? Two reasons. Number one is, Ein habrocha mitzuya ela bedavar hasomoy min ha'ayin. You're not supposed to count your money. You don't go home and count your money. If you count your money, it's no good. It's an ayin hara. I don't know what these are, Kabbalistic things. It's not even okay. Whatever it means, it means. Ein habrocha mitzuya ela bedavar hasomoy min ha'ayin. There is no greater bracha in this world than the Yud Gimel Midos Harachim. Hands down. There is no money, there is no gift, there is nothing in this world as great as the 13 attributes of mercy. Hashem has Rachmanis on us. With His Rachmanis, He gave us the Torah. He gave us life. He gave children. He gave Parnasa. He gives everything. It's all through the Yud Gimel Midoy Sarachanim. What are you coming to count? You're not allowed to count. Ein habrocha mitzuya ela bedavar hasomui min ha'ayin. If you don't count your money, then don't count the Yud Gimel. Learn the words. Spend weeks, months understanding. Hashem, what does this mean? Hashem, kel, rachum, chanum, erech apayim. Rav Chesed, Emes, Leitzer Chesed, v'chulu v'chulu. Learn what it means. You want to start making calculations, which one is included, which one, what difference does it make? It's good, it's intellectual. You want to go study the Rabbeinu Tam, you want to study Rashi, you want to study the Rif and the Rashbam, and all the Rishayim and Achronim to Fataych, the Rokeach, what he'll say about the Gimel. Very nice, gesunde Hedest. You have to know, the Torah says there in 13, appreciate. But halacha lemaisa, when it comes time to recite the midos, when it comes time to be noyeg the midos, to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mahu rachum, afatate rachum, you're going to count? Come on. What are you counting for? It's an intellectual study to count. You have to count. But when it comes time to recite, you don't count. It's somoy min ha'ayin. That's where you'll find bracha. I told this over to someone 2 days ago, and he said to me, "I'll bring you a raya that I'm right." He normally, everything I say, he rips to shreds, but he must be in a good mood. Asar simei tshuva, he's doing tshuva. So he said to me, "He'll bring you a raya to what I said is correct." And he blew my mind what he said. He said, "Chazal, why do we wear a talis? There's a hakpada, everyone knows that slichas. Chatzos, the shliach tzibur has to put on a talis. Oh, a talis in the middle of the night, chatzos, you can't make a bracha. You're going to put on a talis in the middle, you put a talis, you make a bracha, not a bracha. It's a zman when the u'isim I saw a whole shayla make a bracha, not make a bracha. You're getting yourself into a lot of trouble by putting by. So you borrow a talis. Everyone knows. They teach, every child knows. Oh, the shliach tzibur when he davens marv, he borrows a talis." Why don't you just take the shul talis? Taka, you could take the shul talis unless you're in a shul where the shul gives you the talis to make a bracha. Okay, that's a whole shir in itself. Okay, but the bottom line is you have to borrow a talis because you can't make a bracha. You have a talis shul or there is no bracha. If you have such a shaila, don't wear a talis. What do you need a talis for? Don't wear a talis. No. Kavarat Tzibur, not necessarily. Even Nusach Svard wears a talis. Nusach Svard. Nusach Svar, there's no Kavarat Tzibur from Mincha Ma'ariv, they don't wear a talis. Ashkenaz, you're right, even Ashkenaz. Ashkenaz doesn't wear a talis from Ma'ariv. Mincha, some do, some don't. What's this all about here? Teretz says, it's a fair Shukamara. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud, Gimel, Midoy, Sarachamim, Nis'atev, Batalis. Hashem Kaviyocho, whatever this means, he enveloped himself in a talis. Oiter or Kasalma. Hashem enveloped himself in a talis and he taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midoy Sarachanim. Memela, when we emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say the Yud Gimel Midoy Sarachanim, you have to wear a talis. Atkidei Kach, you should know, It's a very big question, and there is no good answer. Why doesn't the tzibur wear a talis? When you go to slichus, the first night of slichus, in the middle of the night, why only the shliach tzibur wears a talis? Everyone should wear a talis. Because you're all reciting the Yud Gimel Midas. So you're talking, Nisateif HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur. Only the shliach tzibur. All right, that's the answer. But those who point out, the Poskim say that if you're davening a slichos in the morning, you should be makbid at least to put on your talis before slichos. Tefillin, okay, that's not necessarily, but the talis, yes, even if it's too early to make a bracha, because you should gain the benefit of nis'atef b'talis, nis'atef b'talis. Hashem was nis'atef with the talis when he taught Moshe the Yod Gimel. Now here's the question that this fellow said to me. Why does Hashem need a talis? Hashem needs a talis. Well, since when? Hashem does whatever he has to wear. A talis? What's a talis? Teretz says, when you wear a talis, you're covered. You're hidden. You're nis'atef. In fact, Chazal say beferish, Moshe said, I don't even know who you are. You all covered in your talises, enveloped. You tell me who the good guys are. I can't tell you apart. When you're enveloped in a talis, you're hidden. You're hidden. You're in a matzav of hester. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, the Ribbono Shel Olam hid himself. Is it not hard enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself in this world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden. Hashem made a world where Sh'omar le'olamoy, die, Shakai, die. I don't want the world to know I'm the author. This world was made by anonymous. Okay, there has to be some copyright somewhere, right? Right? And in this world, wherever that copyright is for the creation of this world, who is the author? Who is the creator? Anonymous. Sh'omar le'olamoy, die. The Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim is V'Anochi Haster Aster Panah. It's a double dosage of hiddenness. Not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu hidden to begin with, he goes into a bunker. He goes into another level of hiddenness. How? By enveloping himself in a talus. And there is where he teaches Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And the Musar Haskel is, in life, you really don't know what's good for you. You really don't know. You think, oh, I missed out on this big glick. I missed out on this opportunity to make money, or this shidduch, or this, or that. Toiv, everything Hashem does for us in this world is rachamim. Hashem created the world with rachamim. B'yoyim ha'asoyis Hashem Elohim. He was shitif midas harachamim to create the world. And then when Hashem is noyheg, Hashem conducts, Hashem guides this world, he envelops himself in another degree of hester, of hiddenness, for the Yud Gimel Midos, to teach you, you really, really do not know what is in your best interest. What is the true goodness? What is true toiv? You don't know. Hashem is doubly hidden. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself to such a degree, when he reveals the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, how much more so should we not be concerned if we cannot identify the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim? Just say the words from beginning to end. Hashem, Hashem, from beginning to end. Think about the words, translate the words, learn what they mean, but you don't have to count. You can count when you say a shir. It's something to know about, to appreciate. What are the possible ikarim? What is the av? What is the telada? But halacha lemaisa, when you dive into Hashem, when you mevakesh rachamim, when you mevakesh toiv, when you are noyeg, when you imitate Hashem in the midas rachamim, Hashem hides himself. You can also hide yourself. You're in good company. Because the Musar Haskell is, you really don't know what's good for you. And that's what we're mispalo to Hashem when we say the Yud Gimel. Hashem, I don't know what's going on, I don't know how this world works. I'm mevatel myself. You lead me. You guide me. You take care of me. And I know I am in good hands. Okay, let's wind down a little, another vart. We have a few more minutes. So let me tell you another important vart. Important vart. Now, I have to give you a little hakdama. I'm going to go very quickly, a little hakdama, because I think this is a very essential. There's a lot of meaning in this vart. It's very important vart. It's very dear to my heart. It's something which I've discussed with you in the past a few times, but now we're going to go look at it in an entirely different way. We say in davening every single day, multiple times, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakais, Meloi Chol Aretz Kivaydai. What does it mean, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh? I went to this one of my friends, he says to me, it means Hashem is super duper Kadosh. Like a super duper deluxe Shalosh Shudas, there's holiness, then there's super deluxe, and then there's super duper duper deluxe. Right? So you say Hashem is Kadosh, Hashem is holy, Kadosh, Kadosh, super duper. Kadosh, 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 Hashem is super duper, off the charts holy. Okay, and you should know some Mefarshim Takas say that. They Takas say that, Mahalach. Then there's another Mahalach, there's a psik. There's Kadosh, then there's Kadosh, Kadosh. There's only really two different levels. There's Kadosh, and there's Kadosh, Kadosh. There really is no such thing as triple. Because there's a psik in the pasuk. There's Kadosh, we're done. Then there's Kadosh, Kadosh. Don't bring all three together. But then there's the Targum. He's also an opinion. And we say the Targum, davening. What does the Targum say? Kadosh is Bishmei Miroima. The Targum translates the words of Kedusha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holy where? He's holy in heaven. Let me read you the words. Say this every single day in Ashrei Uvolatzion. We translate the first words. Okay, I don't want to try to say but I embarrass myself. So I might as well just read what it says in the Sidur. Umikablein dein min dein. The Malachim, they gave permission. The Amen Kaddish Bishmei Miroima Ilo'a. Hashem is holy. In the highest heavens is Beis Shechinte. The first Kadosh refers to the holiness that exists in Hashem's abode in Shemayim. Then we focus on the second holiness. Kaddish al Ara. Hashem is holy in this world. There is holiness in this room. There is holiness in the street. Kaddish al Ara. On the earth, what is the earth, by the way? It is the Ovad Givurte. It is the product of his might. Okay, Hashem is all-mightyful, omnipotent. Hashem, the earth is the product of his Gevura. That's where you will also find holiness. What's the third holiness? Kaddish. Le'olam ule'olmei olmaya. Zman, time. Space and time. There's metaphysical space, then there's real space, and there's time. Okay, that's the translation of Kadosh, 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 according to the Targum. There are many translations, don't get me wrong. I told you that some say it means super-duper deluxe, in Echnami. And some say it means there's a Kadosh, and then there's a Kadosh, Kadosh. But the Targum over here says, no, there are three different types, variety. Kedusha in Shemayim, Kedusha on this world, in the physical space, and Kedusha in Zaman. When do we actually sandwich this together? Every day when we say the bracha Atah Kadosh. Look what we say. Look at this. Unbelievable. Atah Kadosh. You, Hashem, are holy. Atah, we address Hashem. Atah. Where is Hashem? Shemayim. This is the Kedusha of the first Kedusha. B'shmei miroimo ilo'o b'shechinte. Vishimcha Kadosh, your name is holy. Where is Hashem referred to by his name? This world. This world, Hashem, you can't say Hashem. This world, we describe Hashem. This world is a world of the Shem Hashem, where we only can relate to Hashem by referring to him. We think about him. This, Vishimcha Kadosh, your name is holy. The term Vishimcha Kadosh alludes to the Kedusha here on this world. And then we say, Ukidoshim, holy people, Bechol Yoim, every single day, Vishimcha Kadosh, Bechol Yoim, Yahalalucha, Sela, they praise you. time, b'chol yoim. This is Kaddish le'olam u'le'olmei olmaya. Three different types of Kedusha. They're all sandwiched together in the bracha. Ata Kadosh, v'shimcha Kadosh, u'kedoshim b'chol yoim. Yahal, the Kedoshim every single day praise you. Zman. Now, isn't it interesting that from all of the things, the place where we change the Nusach HaTfilah, in fact, the only part of davening which makes a difference, you have to repeat the Shemona Esrei, is in this bracha. In this bracha of Kadosh, 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 if you batch it up, you got to repeat the whole Shemona Esrei. HaMelech HaKadosh. The whole year you say, Baruch HaTo Hashem, HaKel HaKadosh. And now, all of a sudden, Aser Yisrael Tshuva, HaMelech HaKadosh, and you don't say the right thing, you're in trouble. Baruch Hashem and the Yom Ne'eram, we have a very long Ata Kadosh, so therefore you're reading it from the Siddur, so you're not going to make the mistake. Maybe that's why we talk to do it there, so you shouldn't make the mistake, because if you just said the regular Ata Kadosh, you probably forget on your Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you have to repeat the Shemona Esrei the whole day on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Melech HaKadosh. What's the pshat? Why is this the critical thing that we change on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur relative to the entire year? Hashem is holy in Shemaim, on the earth, in Zman. What has changed? So here's the difference. When is the first time we learn about the word Kel? The first time in the Torah that we learn about that Hashem is a Kel. A Kel, when? Avraham Avinu, in regard, in reference to the World War. Umalki Tzedek Melech Elyoin Hoitzi Lechem V'mayim to Avram, Vayomar, Baruch Avram, blessed are you Avram, Lekel Elyon, to the Kel Elyon, Koine Shamayim Baretz, the one who created heaven and earth. What do we do on the Yom Ne'eram? By the way, who there? It's all about kings, by the way, all the kings. You have the four kings, the five kings, and then you have Umalki, the king Melchizedek. Everyone is a king. So many kings. So many kings over there. Four kings go to war against five kings. The five kings, they torture the four kings. The four kings fight back. And they win. The weak overpower the many. Avram comes and he wipes them all out. And now you have Melech Sedoim. And you have Umalki, Lashon of Melech. Umalki Tzedek, the righteous king. He comes out and what does he say? Baruch Avram. Oh, this is a Ribbono Shel Olam. But you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's not the Melech. We're the Melech. Isn't that horrible? Isn't that shocking? Four kings, five kings, Malki Tzedek. He was none of the above. Malki Tzedek was none of the above. Malki Tzedek, he represents the whole event. Melech Malki Tzedek, Hoitzi Lechem V'yayin, and he comes to Avram, Baruch Avram, Lekel Elyon. Nowhere in this discussion is the Ribbono Shel Olam ever called a Melech. Hafle Mufela. Everyone's a king except for Hashem. Hashem is just a kel. What does that mean? He's a kel elyon. So luckily, he defines koine shamayim baretz. He created the heaven and the earth. That's the difference, Rabbi Yisai. When we talk about zman, there are two different ways to look at zman. You can look at zman, the past. No, the past. Yesterday, the day before, a whole year has gone by. We can study history. We can see what happened. And then there's something Zman, the future. On Rosh Hashanah, we say in the Nusach HaTfilah, Soife u'mabit at soif kol hadoros. The Ribbono Shel Olam's Malchus is not just the Malchus Koinei Shamayim V'aretz. No, 6,000 years ago, he created this world. He's a kel. He's a power to deal with. How do we know he's a power? We acknowledge he created this world. And where is he now? Bye-bye. Somewhere else. He's not the Melech. The Melech deals with the future. A king deals with current events. He plans for the future. A Kel, a power? No, you're a powerful being. You've done something very powerful, but you're not in charge over here. The four kings, the five kings, Malkit said they're all dealing with world events. They consider themselves in control. And when they have to give, acknowledge, you know, there's someone here called Avram Avinu? No, okay. You are a representative of the Kel Elyon. And who is the Kel Elyon? He's a very powerful creature. Koinei Shemayim, being Koinei Shemayim Varetz. But you know something? The world is old. It's 6,000 years old. We're dealing now with the future. We're in charge. On the Yomim Noirahim, Zman, it's Zman. Ata Kadosh, V'Shimcha Kadosh, U'Kidoshim B'chol Yoyim. The future, you want to take Zman, and you want to acknowledge the future is in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam, then Zman has a whole new meaning. Zman, when you talk about U'Kidoshim B'chol Yoyim, it's not a b'chol yoyim of, okay, we're going to go through time day by day, but what today is not going to capture today, the tzoyf u'mabit tzoyf kol adoros. When you want to talk about zman on the yom, the with regard to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not going to be of baruch Elokim, baruch avram l'kel elyoin, koinei shamayim v'aretz. Hashem is the melech. It's L'olam ul'olme ul'mayah is not just b'chol yom, day after day. We'll look back in the past, we'll take it one day at a time. We acknowledge Hashem is tsoife u'mabit at tsoif kol hadoros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, is the real melech. Not like the four and five kings of Malki Tzedek are misleading us or saying these things. B'dafka, when we focus on Zman, Hashem, Zman is in his hands. There will be Zoicha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us time, the most valuable asset, Zman to serve Hashem, the Ahava, and be Zoicha to Arich HaSyamim, Arich HaShanim, to serve Hashem in the best of health, in Bracha, Hatzlacha, and Ohoy Ramalia, together, and witness the coming of Mashiach, B'mehera, V'yameinu, Amen. 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 Amen.